As I said, we want to welcome you. Thank you for joining with us. As I did say, there are many who have made that treacherous journey to come to the house of God tonight. May the Lord bless you for doing so. And those who are watching in, we welcome you sincerely in the Saviour's name. We want to welcome our brother, the Reverend Ray Carscadden from Corrigarie Free Presbyterian Church, who in the will of God will make his way to Uganda at some point, and I'm sure he'll tell us maybe his timeline with regard to that. So we welcome you, brother, in the Saviour's name. And I'm just going to hand over the rest of the meeting to you. Thank you.
Well, it is an honour to be with you here this evening. It is so encouraging to look down and see so many here on the night. As you know, there will be many who will be happy to stay at home, to do the journey up the road, and as close as you get, you do begin to think, will there be anybody here tonight? So it is good to see you here. It is such an encouragement to see people who have made an effort to come out and to fellowship here this evening. I want to commence with the bringing of God's word this evening. We'll be watching a short video, but I want to start our time together considering a wonderful portion of God's word. I suppose a fitting piece of God's word, found in Matthew chapter 28, those concluding verses of that chapter, a portion that we know as the Great Commission, Christ speaking to his disciples, giving them this commission to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. We're going to read from verse 16, just a short reading, there in Matthew chapter 28. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And we do add our own amen to the glory of God's word, trusting that he will bless it to our hearts here this evening. Let us pray once more, please. Before we do look at these well-known words, let us pray that there be a word from God to our hearts, that we're not just going through the motions, that I'm not just filling in a meeting and I get into my car and say, well, there's another one ticked off the list. But may there be a move of the Lord speaking to my heart and speaking to yours here tonight. Let us pray. Our loving God and our glorious Father in heaven, I thank thee, Lord, for another opportunity to open thy word and to proclaim its truth to brothers and sisters in Christ. Oh, Lord, as I stand in this pulpit, as I stand on my own, I say, who am I to do such things? But, Lord, I rejoice that I am simply thy messenger with my message. Lord, what an honor it is to bring forth. Oh, Lord, what a challenge it is. Oh, what a solemn thing it is. But yet, Lord, I rejoice I stand not here alone. But Lord, I plead that, Lord, thy presence will be with me. I ask thee, Lord, that thy spirit will move. O Lord, for that fresh infilling of the spirit. O Lord, it's one of those things that is not a vain repetition, but Lord, a needed prayer every time we would stand in the pulpit. O Lord, fill us afresh with thy spirit. Fill me that thou may use me. And fill, Lord, each one of us for the receiving of thy truth. May there be that word in season for our hearts. May there be the encouragement. May there be the challenge. And Lord, as whatever it may be, may we know it is a word from thee. O Lord, bless us. Undertake for us, we pray. Still us, take away the distractions, the worries and the cares. And Lord, may we be still and know that thou art God here tonight. O Lord, bless us, we ask of thee. We do ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. Towards the end of David Livingstone's life, that great pioneer and missionary, he was brought back to his native Scotland to be honoured by his countrymen, and particularly the University of Glasgow. There's absolute silence as David Livingstone stood in that auditorium and told of his experiences in the land of Africa. His left arm hung limp at his side, the result of being mauled by a lion some years before. He spoke of being bedridden with malaria and other fevers some 30 times. He went through lots and lots of different things that he had suffered, the hardships of traveling across a continent which very few had ventured and done before. David Livingstone suffered much and his neighbors in Africa. I would say if he could speak to that man, he would say that his greatest loss was the loss of his dear wife out there on the mission field. We suffered so much. It was clear to be seen just from his appearance how much he had suffered. It was clear that he was not the same man who had left the shores of Scotland all those years ago. And people looking at him, those who cared about him, those who really were worried about him, they tried to encourage David to not return to Africa. They'd look at David in his condition. They heard all the stories that he told. He told them of the hardships and what it was he would be returning to. And they said, surely, David, it's time for you to stay at home. Surely you fought the good fight. Surely you have done enough. David, why would you go back to Africa, knowing what you will face when you returned? But David would hear none of it. And this is what David replied to such people. He said, I return without misgivings and with great gladness. Would you like me to tell you what supported me through all the years of exile among people whose language I could not understand and whose attitude towards me was always uncertain and often hostile? It was this. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. On those words I staked everything, and they never failed me. It is the word of a gentleman of the most strict and sacred honor. So there's an end to it. Here is David Livingstone quoting those words which we have read together this evening there, Matthew 28, verse 20. And David Livingstone is saying these words here that we find before us, that he had staked everything on these words. He went out to Africa in the first place, trusting in these words. And yes, there was times that his faith was tried, times his faith was challenged. But time and time again, his Lord and Savior had been faithful to the promise. And he could say, well, my Savior, he has been faithful to those words. This one who's been faithful, he's the one who cannot lie, or as he calls them, a gentleman of the most strict and sacred honor. I've proved these words over and over again, and it's with that confidence I venture out again to Africa. And to Africa he would go. And there in the land of Africa, his frail little body would finally give up the ghost. He would give up the ghost while on his knees beside his bed. And found before him on his bed was his open Bible, open to Matthew chapter 28, and then beside the words of verse 20, he had written in his own handwriting the words of a gentleman. The words of a gentleman. Now, of course, he died on his knees. That is surely a sign that that man, in his dying breaths, he was communing with his God in prayer. While we do not know what his final words were upon this earth, what his final conversation before going to be with Christ and to spend all eternity with him, we don't know what those dying words were. I don't think it's too much of a stretch for us to consider that his Bible was open at Matthew chapter 28, and these words, the words he had staked his life upon, that he himself would take and wrestle over and over again. It's too much to think that maybe, as he felt his life ebbing away from him, he would read those words one last time. And he was giving thanks to his God for being ever faithful to them. That here at the very end, knowing his life was slipping from him, knowing that he was going to be with Christ, which was far better, he was giving thanks that Christ, the gentleman as he calls him, had been faithful to the very end. He calls them the words of a gentleman. Now that may mean very little in our own modern day context, but in David Livingstone's day, the word of a gentleman meant something. His honor was at stake. In other words, if a gentleman said something, he better try his very best to make sure he would do it. But you see, Christ was, as he calls him, the gentleman of the most strict and sacred honor. Christ was the one who could not lie. He was the gentleman's word that truly could be trusted. And he trusted, I believe, too, the very end. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, why do I bring these words to your attention this evening? Now, you know, as a brother has said, and tonight, and probably even in the past, in the not so distant future, myself, my family, we do plan, in the Lord's will, to go to Africa. And maybe you're thinking, this man standing in the pulpit tonight, is he comparing himself to David Livingstone? Now, I want to be very clear from the very beginning. I am not trying to compare myself to that man. I wouldn't even dare to compare myself to such a man. So I often say, not fit to tie the laces of the shoes of such a man. And yet while I am no David Livingstone, I stand here tonight without in any prideful way, but in a sense of great honor, I serve the same God as David Livingstone. And I go out with the same comfort, with the same confidence that David Livingstone had in these words. You see, David Livingstone, he took these words as his life text. He staked his all going to Africa on these words. And in the not so distant future, as myself, my wife Rhonda, and our children, as we would go to the land of Uganda, we rest in those words. And for that reason, we put those words, the words of Matthew 28, verse 20, upon our prayer card. There's prayer cards available for you out there in the porch. Please do take one, and you will see that verse is upon them. Well, surely, even if you just consider the context of these words of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see how appropriate they are for any missionary prayer card. As I said even before we began reading, this is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to his disciples, ultimately thrusting them out as missionaries with the task of fulfilling their part of the Great Commission. That's what we have there in verses 19 and 20. It is the Great Commission being given to his disciples. Now surely, what appropriate words they are for any missionary to have upon their card. The great missionary tax, the greatest missionary tax maybe of all. But you see this evening as we would look at these words together, particularly that expression there in verse 20 of, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." I want you to see with me this evening that these are not just words for a mighty servant of God like David Livingstone or a lesser missionary like myself. I want you to see that these words of the Lord Jesus Christ are words for each and every child of God. Brothers and sisters, I put these words upon my prayer card. I claim them as words for me, just as David Livingstone claimed them as words for him. But I want you also to take them as words for you. This is really what I want us to focus on this evening. I want us to focus on the fact that these are words to you as they are words to me. They can be taken by you this evening. Oh, you may never cross the oceans, but these words of Christ can apply to you. I want us to take a few moments to consider this under the title, "For More Than a Missionary." Now, I hope those words will stick with you. For more than a missionary. Now, if you forget most of what I say, if you forget everything what you see in the video, if you forget my prayer request, well, I hope you're not forgetful to forget all those things. But if you do forget all those things, and all you remember from this evening was that there's a man in our pulpit, and he reminded us that those words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He told us. He reminded us. He showed us that these are words for more than a missionary. Or in other words, you can say that these are words for me. Well, David Livingstone wrote in his margin of his Bible, "The words of a gentleman." Maybe you're one who takes notes in your margin or somewhere else. Maybe you'd write down his words, or you take that title of mine, "For More Than a Missionary." The next time that you open your Bible at Matthew 28 and the verse 20, you're struck by those words and you're reminded again of what was said tonight. Or maybe as you go out the door, you take one of my prayer cards and it goes somewhere inside your Bible. Maybe. I don't know, maybe you're very good at putting your prayer cards somewhere prominent that there before you. I know many of us, we get something at the door, we put it inside our Bible, and it probably remains there until the next time we open our Bible at that page. But I believe that if that is even the case, what a divine appointment that could be. As your Bible would open again and that my prayer card would fall out, you'd see my ugly mug upon that card, that you'd be taken away from such a thing. Your eyes would be turned to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that are printed there, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." And you'll maybe ask, you see my video, "Aye, that was him. That was the man that told us that night, showed us that night, that Christ is with me always, even unto the end of the world." Well, that is my desire for these few moments together this evening, to show to you that these are words for more than a missionary. As we will consider this message of the Lord Jesus Christ, see with me firstly that this message was a message to doubting disciples. It was a message to doubting disciples. Right, let's take verses 19 and 20. It says, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now we see, as I've said, these are Christ's words of commissioning, the great commission given to his disciples. And you can see how comforting those closing words of verse 20 must have been to these men. Here is Christ promising to be with them always, even on to the end of the world. These men being thrust out with the gospel. But I want you, as I say tonight, to see that these are not just words of comfort for those men in that day, but they're words for us. Now, as you look at these men, as you consider these words of Christ to these disciples, you find it very hard to identify with such men that are being thrust out into the world with the gospel. But I want you to see that these men, they are more like us than we may think. Oh yes, these men would embark on great missionary journeys. Yes, these men would turn the world upside down with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. How the Lord would use these men. Yet these men were still men at best. You must remember that they were still just men. And I put you to doubt that these men, they were men with their own doubts and fears. They were men who were far from perfect. These men were doubting disciples. A point that is made abundantly clear in verse 17. Take verse 16 as well. We read in those two verses, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Now, those are in many ways mysterious words. The doubts that these disciples had. Their Savior had told them what was going to happen. The Savior had told them. The Savior has appeared to them. The Savior has risen from the grave. Here they are coming to meet with him. And yet here there's these disciples. They're doubting. They've doubts. Now, I cannot plumb the depths of what they were doubting. Yet I want to consider, maybe not in context to what they were doubting, what is covered by those words in verse 17. Yet, as we consider those men and all that's going on at this time in their life, there's doubts. As I say, doubts about all that has just happened and occurred. Doubts concerning the future, based on the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, though he's soon going to depart from them. He's finished his work upon this earth. He's soon to go. Surely they have doubts concerning that. What are they going to do without their Lord and Savior with them? And then, if they didn't have doubts in verse 17, when Christ then speaks to them there in these closing verses, oh, what doubts they must have had. Doubts concerning what Christ is asking them to do. These men had doubts. You see, I want to be clear with you this evening, and honest with you this evening, that we all have doubts and fears. Your brother, my brother, your servant here, he's his doubts and fears, no doubt. Oh, sometimes I think we can pull off a false impression to those sitting in the pew. That sometimes we get the shirt and tie on, or maybe even more so, we get the collar on us. We can stand in the pulpit, we can have our Bible, we can look the part. And sometimes I think you think we all have our lives so well together that somehow we've reached that perfection which we tell you that no man will reach this side of glory. See, the fact is we're far from perfect. I wish I was. Oh, I mourn that I'm not the man that I ought to be. But I tell you, no preacher is perfect. No preacher is without his own doubts and fears and trials and troubles. Therefore, on a side note, really, I ask you, pray for your minister. Keep before the throne of grace in prayer. Oh, you no doubt have your troubles, your woes. And you want to know that your minister and your session are praying for you. May you realize that those men, they need your prayers every bit as much. Keep them before the throne of grace in prayer. And I want to get even more honest with you. I want to speak about my doubts and my fears. Doubts. See, it's very soon, in the next few months, we're in the Lord's will going to the land of Uganda. Now, that burden, as you will see in the video, goes back quite some time for that land. I doubts. Doubts about that. Is this just me? Is this just mere emotionalism? Is this just me making something that isn't really there? Doubts about that. Then when I know it is clearly the Lord's will, doubts about my ability into doing anything for the Lord in that land. Like the disciples, there's still doubts. Doubts maybe concerning the future. Doubts about bringing my wee family to live in a liberal third world country where we don't have the pharmacist neck just down the road, and we don't have all the comforts and all the things that we have here. Oh, doubts about such things. Doubts about the trials that may come. Doubts and fears about coping with leaving family behind. Doubts and fears about how we will deal with the loneliness of the mission. I could go on and on. You may say, that man, is he called at all? He's speaking about all these doubts and the fears they have. And I want to assure you, I'm called. I know I'm called. And I don't say that with any pride. I say it with humbleness. I know the Lord's call in my life. And if I didn't know that call, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. But regardless, while I know that call in my life, and indeed what comfort it can bring to some of those doubts, sometimes those doubts are still there. Now, why do I say this? Again, I don't want to talk about myself. But I want to bring really it as an illustration to you that we all have our doubts and fears. And you see, brothers and sisters, it is to men with such doubts and fears that the Lord Jesus Christ is here speaking when he says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." These words were for doubting disciples. If they were for doubting disciples in that day, why can we not see that they're for doubting disciples today? Well, instead of beating ourselves up about our doubts and our fears, come to Christ, rest in Christ, and may his promise be the comfort and the release from the doubts and the fears and the trials. But we're no different to these disciples. And be no different to them. Christ's words are the same to us. "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Never, whatever it is you're suffering this evening, whatever trial it is you're going through, whatever doubts and fears that you are facing, realize that yes, you're no different to these men, and therefore hear Christ say to you tonight, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Take heart, dear Christian. Christ is with you, even unto the end of the world. Rest in this. May it be your solace and your comfort. And as we would think of that, it brings the two a second point to this evening. This is a message for doubting disciples. See, secondly, that this is a message of promised presence. It's a message of promised presence. In the first point, we were really dealing with the context. Or in other words, who was it that Christ was speaking to? And we see the context is a message from the Lord Jesus Christ to doubting disciples. Now, as we consider this second point, we're looking at the content. Or in other words, well, what was it he was saying to these men? What was his message for these doubting disciples? What is his message for us? Well, again, take verses 19 and 20. "Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." The Lord Jesus Christ, he closes out his words to his disciples with a promise of his presence. "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He's given his great commission. He's challenged them to go. He's commanded them to go. And he doesn't end it there, but he ends it with a promise. And as we consider this, there's a couple of things we can note. Firstly, note the timing of this promise. As I say, he's just given them this command. We also see that he's soon to depart from them. These men who have followed them have cast down their nets and gone after him, and now they realize that he's leaving them. And then they see, they hear Christ tell them, "Oh yes, I'm leaving you, and as I leave you, I want you to go with the gospel into all the world." Oh, I could say, as I said, yes, they had doubts. We're told that in verse 17, but I believe until that promise comes there at the end of verse 20, their doubts are only getting more worse and worse. We could say their doubts and their fears have reached their pinnacle. And it is at that moment when their doubts and their fears could get no higher. It was at that very moment that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks and gives them the promise that they need to hear. Well, it wasn't just a case of Christ telling them what they wanted to hear, but he had a message that was sincere and true. It was the message that could calm their souls. It was a message that Christ knew they needed. We could give them. He could give them the message at the right time. The timing, we could say, of his promise was perfect. It was perfect. And surely there's an application of encouragement for us. You see, it doesn't say that The disciples came and they listed off all their doubts and their fears. It doesn't tell us that at all. There in verses 19 and 20, as he gives them the command to go, there isn't some stop here. And they say, well, I'm afraid to go. What about my family? What about the things I must leave behind? What about all these things? He doesn't give them time even to announce those things. But you see, he knew what was going on in their hearts. And in that very instant, at the time of their fears, he gives them the word that they needed to hear. Dear Christian, may that be you tonight. Well, maybe you don't, as it were, broadcast your doubts, your fears, your troubles, your trials. But the Lord knows. The Lord knows your present struggles and battles. And just like with these disciples, he can meet them. And he can meet them now at the very point of your need. See, maybe as you gather here tonight on this wintry night with the snow on the ground, and maybe you thought twice about coming out. But yet there was that drawing of you to come on to the sound of God's word this evening. Was it the Lord drawing you in to fulfill the perfect timing of his promise to you? That whatever it is you're going through, that you would hear tonight, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. May the timing of his promise be perfect to you tonight. Not only is there the timing of the promise, but there is the scope of the promise. Really, you can see this in two parts. Firstly, there is the word always. Oh, how far reaching is this promise of his presence? Well, he says, lo, I am with you always. Or what we would say, could say, there's, we're not ruining the text in any way to say always. I'm going to be with you always. Oh, Christ, as we know, will soon ascend to glory. And this no doubt filled the disciples with dread. That Christ, the omnipresent God, promises that even though he in his bodily form must leave them, he is promising to still be their God, to still be with them, that he will be with them always. We can nearly hear the disciples saying, Lord, don't leave us, pleading, weeping, crying for the Lord to stay with them. You can hear the Lord in return saying to them, I'm not leaving you. I will be with you always. What a precious promise. How wonderful scope there was. Oh, he will be with them always. But not just always, but even unto the end of the world. You see, these men, they're commissioned to leave their homes. They're commissioned to leave their all, to head out into the unknown world, to go to the reaches of the world, to breathe the gospel of Christ. And he alleviates the fear. Surely that was going to fill them with fear. They're stepping out right into the unknown. But Christ says, go out into all the world. And wherever you go in the world, I will be with you. Where will I be with you? Even on to the end of the world. Wherever you go, and for long as you go, I will be with you. Never back to what they said in the introduction, we can see how a wonderful promise this is for any missionary. Any missionary in their right mind would want to cling to such a promise. That wherever they go, he'll be with them. As far as they go, he will still be there. And as long as they go, he will remain at their side. But again, I must emphasize, these are words for more than the missionary. Whatever the struggle, whatever the valley, and maybe you're not going through it yet, but yet this year is going to hit you with a bang. There's some trial, some difficulty, something just around the corner. Some dark valley. That these words of Christ surely still apply. Lo, I am with you always, even on to the end of the world, even into the darkest valley, I'm already there. Oh, may we all learn to trust in this wonderful promise of Christ. May we all, like David Livingstone, see them as the words of a gentleman. But as I would conclude, let me be very careful. You see, this is a wonderful promise, and I encourage you all to claim this promise of Christ. But may the promise inspire us all to do. You see, while I insist this is a promise for more than a missionary, it would be wrong, it would be foolish. We would really be going into the realms of those men that we criticize and who just give a one-sided message of God is love and never preach God is wrath. And they bring all the promises, but they don't teach obedience. We must be very careful that we do not just come to this promise and say, here's another promise for you, without considering what the context is. The context of this promise is doing. The context of this promise is service. The context of this promise is obedience. Why say yes, claim the promise? But dare any of us claim the promise if we're not willing to obey the command? See, if I say to you tonight, this promise is for more than the missionary, well then, so is the command that goes with it. Or in other words, the Great Commission is for all of us. There's something for all of us to do. And now if you say, what can I do? I can't share the gospel. I've tried sharing the gospel with my neighbor. I've tried sharing it with a work colleague. They've laughed at me. They've mocked me. They've ridiculed me. And you say, I can't go through that again. Too shy, too nervous, I don't have the right words, all the excuses. But if we can lay hold of the promise of Christ, saying, lo, I am with you all the way, even on to the end of the world, well then why would we fear anyone? Do you know that Christ is by our side when we would labor even in some small way for him? Well, what an encouragement to do. The promise of Christ is, we'll claim the promise, but may we also obey the command. Let us do what we can. Let us do it where we can. And let us do it for as long as we can. Trusting in these words of our Savior. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. We trust that the Lord will take his word. He will bless to each one of our hearts this evening. Brother, kindly have the video all set up for us. And at this stage, we'll watch it together. Thank you.
How ironic.
I'll give out your prayer requests. I usually do some prayer requests at the end, so I'll give them to you now at this stage, and you can see maybe how they will tie in with the video. The first thing I would ask you to pray for, now this is maybe in the order of priority, but Jeff, this is one of the things that very much sticks with us as a family, and that is to pray for our families. I know us, we as a denomination, we're very good at supporting and praying for our missionaries, but sometimes maybe we forget the families that are left behind. And I'd ask you, please, very much pray for our families, my mother, my wife Rhonda, her mum and dad. Please do be keeping them in your prayers. It's going to be hard for us to leave them. It's going to be, I believe, even harder for them to say their goodbyes to us. Rhonda's father, he's 88 years of age, and of course we all consider that we're not upon this world forever. We don't know what tomorrow brings for any of us. So therefore, please do pray for the family that's left behind. Pray for us as we would leave them, that God's grace would indeed be sufficient for us and for them. The second thing I'd ask you to pray for is wisdom. It's something that we really need much wisdom all the time. But the video, it'll suggest it. I may not go into all the details, but there's many, many opportunities in the land of Uganda. Particularly, even in recent months, there's been a developing of the opportunities. There's a prison ministry. There's two prisons are visited every Lord's Day. There's all the children's work. There's the services. There's the school. And that's before we even venture out into new things. So many opportunities. But you see, we must be very wise that we take the right doors. That we are choosing the doors of the Lord's choosing. Even as our brother prayed earlier, I think it is very wise. It's a very very important thing. It's very easy to get distracted by the business. It's very easy to get distracted by all opportunities. And we could end up taking opportunities, doing things, and it's not the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never pray that we will have wisdom, that we will go through the right doors, and that we will remain faithful in what the Lord is calling us to do. And then the third thing, really it builds upon that, it is a prayer for workers. There's so much work to be done. Therefore, the obvious prayer request is a prayer for workers. Now you say, you're not in the land of Uganda yet and you're already looking for help. Well, I unashamedly ask you tonight to pray for more workers. Come and join us in the land of Uganda. So much work to be done. So much work to be done, and therefore we need more workers. Our brother again, his prayer, he prayed about how you as a congregation have been praying that for a man to go and to to fill the pulpit there. It's very humbling to think I am the answer to that prayer. But Jesus, the Lord, He's answered that prayer already. Why would we stop praying? If He can do it once, He can do it again. Let us pray. The Lord will send more workers out to the land of Uganda. Then, as He had it ready, one final prayer request. It is above all these things. It is a move of the Holy Spirit. We see we can have all the workers. We can have all the opportunities. We can have all the comforts of leaving family. We can have all those things. But what is the point in any of those things if the Spirit does not move? We can give out Bibles. We can give out tracts. And the people in Uganda, they love receiving a gospel tract or Dr. Kearns' little book translated into Uganda. They love all those things. And it's great that they'll sit in an open air and listen to you if you preach for a couple of hours. All wonderful things, encouraging things. But if the Spirit doesn't move in the salvation of souls, all that is in vain. So please do pray for us. There will be that outpouring of the Spirit. And in the Lord's will, I would return to you sometime in the future. We will be able to report of the great things that the Lord has done. So hand over to the brother, our brother now. God willing, this video will work all right.
As I look at my life, I can see it's definitely been a journey. Maybe not the journey that I would have planned, not the way I would have written that, but the Lord has written it. The Lord in glory past has planned my life. Giving a word of testimony is always a joy for a Christian to do, and as I consider my testimony, that's what I see. I see the Lord's hand from my childhood, through my school years, into work, into college, into employment, and see that all those things have been working together in accordance with God's will. It really is. It is amazing to think of the doors that the Lord closed and the disappointments that have came, but then see doors open again and the excitement and the joy. It's amazing just to see that the Lord has been at all from the very beginning. I have to say my burden for the land of Uganda goes back quite some time. It goes back even before there was a Free Presbyterian work in the land. Back in 2013, really as a beginning student in college, it was really then the Lord challenged me actually to pray that the Lord would open a Free Presbyterian work in that land. I knew very little of the land, but yet this was the burden that the Lord put upon my heart, and I began to pray, and it was amazing to see how the Lord answered those prayers. When the Lord answers such a prayer, the first question comes to mind, well, is the Lord opening this door for me to serve? But then in the time to come, it appeared it was opening for others. I have to say there was very mixed emotions for me at this time. In one sense, I was glad the Lord again had answered my prayers and had provided someone to go and to labour there. While at the same time, I have to say, I don't know if it's the right word, but there was a jealousy that maybe that wasn't opening for me. And it was, as years go on, the Lord did burden me to go to Corrigarry, to County Monaghan. And very much I knew that was the Lord's will at that time. But then, it appeared the door opening again for the land of Uganda, very much the question came to me, well, is it now my time to go? I left it very much with the Lord. If He wanted me to go, that somehow the mission board would approach me and it would be spoken to go. I left this with the Lord. Some time later, I had to ring Reverend McMillan one Sunday afternoon. And then, just in the process of conversation, I don't know the exact words that Reverend McMillan used, but it was something along the lines of, had I ever considered serving the Lord on the mission field? And it was really, at that moment, the Lord really struck my heart again with this burden. Reverend McMillan may not have knew my burden, but the Lord knew. And it was the Lord was truly, I believe, asking that question and not our brother. It was frightening to think the Lord is opening this door. It's one thing to be burdened and even have that excitement of maybe there being a possibility, but when it starts to become real, a nervous definitely set in. I first visited Uganda then in March 2022. Now, that wasn't when it was planned to go. It was planned to go in May of 2020, but then COVID happened. Then it was much waiting. It was much anxious waiting at some degree, but yet the Lord was very good and stilled me, gave me patience, gave me great opportunities even within those times to preach there via Zoom. And then getting to go and see people face to face, that was a wonderful experience to see these people that I had been ministering to stand beside Master Thomas as he translated all these things. It was a wonderful experience to actually firsthand to be there amongst the boys and girls and the people within the church. In my time there, there was a few girls came to us at various times and were counselled. I remember preaching a very simple assembly. I brought some lollipops over me from home, some 450 lollipops. I did a simple object lesson on the free gift that I was given to them, of course, the free gift of salvation. And then to speak to those girls and hear that it was those things that I had said, and just listen to what they were saying to me, that the Lord has spoken to them through that. It very much was a seal, I believe, on my call to the land of Uganda. I couldn't believe it. It was amazing to see the Lord at work, and it really was the Lord that had done these things. I remember the first one, it was really a shock. It really, as a minister, you think you're always ready and prepared for such things, but we live in a day of much barrenness, and it was so encouraging to see some come and show that interest in the things of the Lord and to counsel them and point them to Christ. I was there in March of 2022. I suppose I regretted that I didn't bring Rhonda and the children with me that time. It was, I suppose, I, very naive, knew very little about the mission field, and I was kind of thinking mosquitoes and disease and danger everywhere. But very much when we were there, it was a safe place. It's a very welcoming place. Very much it feels like a family. You have children boarding there, some 80 children boarding, and there's always activity. You're never, it's never quiet, and you're never lonely. And I believe the Lord gave me a comfort in this, thinking that this, it could be a place that you could raise a family, even with the challenges. Of course, there are challenges and difficulties, yet there was an ease given to me. And really, I wanted my wife and the children to come out with me, even just to experience and see that for themselves. It was then arranged in June of 2022 to revisit the land of Uganda, to bring Rhonda, my wife, to bring John, George and Ida Grace out as well. And at first I was really excited, the thought of going out, and then reality kicks in that you're going to bring three small children on very long flights to Africa. But even from the beginning to the end of that journey, our children have never been better. And we could see the Lord's hand was clearly in this. The people were praying for us when we made it to the compound. Very quickly we were surrounded by children, and really our boys and Ida Grace, they settled in so fast. It wasn't just that they played with the boys and girls, that they got on with each other, but those true friendships were formed. Even since returning, there's been letters have been sent both ways, and it's amazing to see that the Lord has answered prayers concerning this. Was really one of our chief concerns about going to the land of Uganda. How do you raise young children in a foreign culture? Really, the Lord has been so good, and I believe, in answering those prayers for us, even for Rhonda too. It was a great experience to be in Uganda, to experience firsthand, to see the potential. She was amazed to see the potential that there is there in that land, and even things that she could do. She has a real passion for working with children, being a teacher for several years, and working within state education and in Christian education. She can see there's much that she can do there too in that land. Coming home from Uganda, that second visit, it was very much, I knew that I couldn't really delay any longer. Something needed to be done. Having applied to the mission board to serve in the land of Uganda, I'm very happy that the mission board have been very supportive, very helpful, some very wise counsel given. Now at this stage, being approved by the mission board and by Presbytery, we are with great excitement look forward to travelling out to the land of Uganda as a family. Having been now in the land of Uganda twice, it's very much clear to me there is a great work to be done in the church that is there. There's some wonderful people in the church, but there is clearly a need for some sound biblical teaching. Just the very basics there is very much a need to develop that, develop their understanding of the simple truth of the scripture. There's much confusion in the land. There's much charismatic influence. There's also much challenge in the area too of Catholicism and Islam, where the church is located. That really are the two main religions. So being able to combat that and trying to minister in that will definitely be the some of the great challenges of the time there. I think from the beginning of our time in Uganda, we will have to very much get ourselves involved in the learning of the language. Of course, there is the children who speak English, they're taught in English in the school, but the community, it's clear to be seen that there's many of the people who speak only in Uganda. It's going to be a challenge for myself and for Ron, and indeed as the family, as we maybe together would learn the language. I think it is vitally important that I'm able to communicate with the people in their own language. There's much can be lost in translation. I think even just from a personal thing, for those people to see, here's this outsider, yet he's willing to learn our language, and he wants to speak to us in our language. I think that's so important as a church, and even in evangelism.
Well, what are we going to do about it? Are we going to hide?
Even outside of the work, the immediate work of the church, there is much opportunity in the community. I remember one phone call I had with Reverend McMillan, and I told him that was probably my biggest difficulty, was there was so much opportunity, it was so very hard to see what the right door to pick was, and that's really where we need much wisdom. Every week there is a weekly open air. It's wonderful to see you go to a little village, you set up your equipment, and the children and the adults, they just come out of nowhere, they sit down and they listen to you. It's really not like anything that we have here at home. Just a wonderful opportunity to see the potential that there is in the community. There is a great opportunity to go around the doors and visit people, to give out tracts, to give out new beginnings, translated into Uganda. There's so many opportunities. You go down little paths thinking there's nobody, and you find house after house and so many people, so many opportunities in that way. I can see going forward, maybe not in the immediate future, but definitely as we go down, spend some time in the land of Uganda, I believe there's great potential for establishing further works. There's so many people, so much keenness and interest in the gospel. I believe there is great potential for the establishing and planting of other churches. I suppose we can have a very romantic view of the mission field, and I've read many missionary biographies, and those things, they're inspiring, and it's wonderful to sort of be that you're entering into such labours, but at the same time, I know I'm not one of those men. I know there's many challenges, many difficulties, loneliness, even just simple things like that. There is concerns, very personal concerns, I suppose, and leaving a family behind, and leaving elderly parents and so forth. And I say that's probably the biggest concern we have at this time. Consider my life really from those early days growing up on the farm to going to back into education, going into Christian school, going into the ministry, and now venturing out onto the mission field. There is an excitement to see that the Lord has been working all these things together, and that's an encouragement that the Lord has a purpose and a will in all these, that all those years that this is what he's been working towards. It's amazing to think what the Lord has for us in the days ahead. Staff is very new to us, and a very steep learning curve. We acknowledge that there's much to learn, and we will be learning all the time, but we know with all the challenges, all the difficulties, we are not going alone. Those words of Christ are very comforting to us there in Matthew chapter 28. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.